maybe to your surprise, we'll be in the book of Joshua. And what I've began doing last Sunday night is I preached one sermon over the whole book of Joshua, and because I'm going to begin preaching on Sunday nights on the book of Joshua. And so this morning is a little bit of a break from Romans, but also to encourage you to come on Sunday nights. Maybe that'll be the result of this. We'll see how it goes. But I want to preach a sermon from chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. Then tonight, I'm going to go back in and focus on one verse in chapter 1. And so please take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 1 in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1. And don't worry, next Sunday I plan to be back in Romans, Lord willing. Joshua chapter 1. Please stand with me as we honor God in reading His Word together. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember what Moses said, the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Verse 14, your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them. Until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given to them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you've commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your word, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the grace shown to us that your word has been preserved so that we read the very words of God when we read the Bible. And Father, we pray now that these words that are profitable to us, that Lord, you would show us the riches of it. Lead us to be what you called Joshua to be. Be strong and courageous. These words in our families and at the workplace, our or when we're with friends, and when we're alone. May you be glorified. Lord, encourage your people today. Please speak by the Spirit through your servant. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. So what do you think of when you think of courage? I'll start off this morning by gloating a little bit that the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Baltimore Ravens and will go to the Super Bowl again this year. Thank you very much. And, well, I heard some applause, so maybe there's another Chiefs fan here. And I know people get down another one. Can I see a witness? So anyway, people get tired of the same team going all the time. But you just have to get over it because the Chiefs are so courageous. And their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, is so courageous. And doesn't that sound silly? That knowing that the Chiefs will again receive the Lombardi Trophy of Super Bowl champions again next week, because they're so courageous. Doesn't that sound silly? To say that athletes are courageous. Sometimes the way we speak about athletes and sports, and of course I'm being silly about all of that, but sometimes the way we speak about athletes and sports and the way they do their throwing the ball here or doing this here, a game is as if there's something commendable here to emulate. Look at how they play their game. They're so good at it. They're so courageous. And I'm not minimizing those of you who are athletes or anything like that. But we understand when we think of courage, it should be more than how somebody plays a game. Right? And there's a nuance here where we can say, well, if you're a Christian, you can be courageous and that you're an athlete as a Christian. And yes, we can get to that kind of application. And maybe you'll see that as we go along. But when we think of courage, we really shouldn't think of athletes. We may think of a soldier in battle. Now, I love history, and I love military history and reading things about soldiers in battle. And we may think of policemen, first responders, firemen, 9/11, people that ran into the burning buildings there in New York City over 20 years ago now. We may think of something that happened in the news recently about how a dad ran inside to rescue his son courageously from an accident he was in and at the risk of his own life. And we're getting closer to what courage is there. What we need to see in Joshua chapter 1 is God commands even a different type of courage. Similar, but even more. Is God commands biblical courage. And that's the topic this morning, is biblical courage based on what we've read here in Joshua chapter 1. It's important for us to get a little bit of a background here. For those of us that might not know, God had promised His chosen people, Abraham's descendants, Israel, to give them land, a special piece of real estate on this earth where they would live. They refer to it as the land of Canaan, where the Canaanites lived, or the promised land, the land of promise, a land where they would not only be, but a land of rest, where they would have ultimately rest from enemies and rest from war. And they looked forward to that promise. They'd went into captivity and slavery for a few hundred years in Egypt, and God had led them out by His mighty hand through Moses, so that God might display to the Egyptians and to the watching world that there's not many gods like the Egyptians believe, but there's one God. And He split the Red Sea like only God can do and led the people across on dry ground and gave them the covenant at Mount Sinai. But even the people then who received God's law and saw the wonderful things that God has done in light of that deliverance and salvation that He had accomplished for them, disobeyed God by building a golden calf and worshiping it, even as God's law was being given. They were breaking it. But God was patient. God heard Moses' prayers as interceder, and God continued to deal with them. And so they kept journeying toward this promised land. And it wasn't a long journey. It wasn't a long walk. It was a long walk, but then again, it wasn't going to take that long. It shouldn't have took 40 years. It should have took a few days. Now, why did it take a whole generation dying off before they got to the promised land. And if you don't remember the story goes that when they got right to the edge after a few days, they left Mount Sinai. That's the book of Numbers. You read the book of Numbers, they're leaving Mount Sinai. Ten commandments are given. They're marching toward the promised land. Here they go. Boom, they're there. By chapter 13 of Numbers. And they send out a spy for each tribe. And the spies say, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, just as God promised. And they bring some of the produce back from the land. But they also say, the inhabitants there are mighty and strong and big, and we can't possibly take over them. But there were two of the spies that spoke up. One was Caleb, and one was a man named Hoshea, whose name means salvation or deliverance, whom Moses later renamed Joshua, which means Yah. Or Yahweh gives deliverance. The divine name, personal name of God, was incorporated into Hoshea's name. Now he was called Joshua. The Lord saves. In the English, or excuse me, the Latin translation of the Greek translation of that word is where we get the word Jesus in our Bibles. The Lord saves. Joshua certainly showed courage on that day along with Caleb that they should go to the promised land. The Lord will give us this. He's promised this. The Lord will be with us. And what we see in the book of Joshua over and over, much of the book of Joshua, the whole book is about God giving the land to the people. That's what it's about. Every single chapter, the book of Joshua is about the land being given by God. God's keeping His promise to give the land. To give the land. The word give or gives or gave is used over and over in the book of Joshua. 50 times in the book of Joshua, you see that combination of land and how God gave the land. It's a major emphasis, if not the major emphasis of the book of Joshua. In fact, in chapters 13 through 21, by the end of chapter 12 of Joshua, the people are in the land. There's still some wars to take place and battles. But by then, they're pretty much settled in the land. And in chapter 13 through 21 of Joshua, what you see is a meticulous description of how all the land is being split up among the tribes because God has given them the land. They are now settled in the land. God has given them the land. God has done what He has promised. Now recall then, again, this is that second generation, that first generation that just went just a few days, and right there was the promised land. They wouldn't go. Well, because they wouldn't go, God said, none of you are going into the land except Joshua and Caleb. So 40 years goes by, wandering through the desert, wandering through the wilderness, and all those people died. And Moses did too, because Moses took glory for himself when he hit the rock to draw water from it instead of speaking to the rock. And God said, well, Moses, you're not going in either. You can look at it, but you're not going in. And Moses didn't go to the promised land. But Joshua was commissioned by the Lord through Moses to be that leader of God's people. And now we come in the book of Joshua where we've come and it's that second generation, that first generation has all died off. Joshua is an older man. Caleb's still alive. And here they are at the Jordan River, and right there, is the promised land. And folks, let us remember that the greater promised land that we have, our inheritance is Christ, is right there. Don't stumble in disbelief as did that first generation. Keep believing that God gives the land. He gave the physical land to Israel. He'll give that greater land of rest to us. It's right there. Right there. And we'll be there. Right? So, in light of this, just let me say this. The main point of this message this morning is about biblical courage. Biblical courage is required to inherit the land God gives. That's it. Biblical courage is required to inherit the land God gives. That sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? God gives it, so why is anything required for it? But yet that's true. Just as the Bible says in Romans, let's go to Romans. We've got to mention Romans, right? Romans chapter 8. what was it? Verse 17, where it uses the phrase, we not only are heirs of God, but fellow heirs with Christ. Remember that? That's our inheritance. That greater promise that's promised to believers. Provided that we suffer with Him in order that we may also receive what's been revealed to us. I can't remember the rest. I'll go back and work on my memorization. Provided. So, being a true believer and being one who suffers go together. Being a true believer and being one who has biblical courage and perseveres even though you may suffer, when we look back at Joshua, go together. Biblical courage goes along with being a true believer. If you're a true believer, you will have biblical courage. But we wax and wane in it, don't we? Sometimes we tuck our tails and go the other way or look the other way, or we do veer. And so we need our fellowship on Sundays to remind us, to exhort one another, to keep persevering and be biblically courageous. So, biblical courage defined. What is biblical courage? You want a really simple definition? Here it is. Doing what God says, period. That's literally what I wrote down. Biblical courage, doing what God says, period. I could elaborate on it. I could say doing what God says no matter what anybody else says. Good. Doing what pleases God even if it don't please anybody else. Or as the Scripture says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowing the right thing. It's knowing it and then doing it. Applying it rightly. So biblical courage defined, I would say, doing what God says. And we see that here in verses 6 through 9. Now, over and over, three different times here in the first part, once at the end, Joshua was told this phrase, right? In Joshua 1 we just read, be strong and courageous. Now remember Joshua, back in the day, years earlier, at least 40 years earlier, he was the one that said, we can go to the promised land. Let's do it. God will give it to us. But years later, in the book of Deuteronomy, we read that Moses knew he was 120 years old. Moses knew he wasn't going to the promised land. And he took Joshua in front of all the people in the book of Deuteronomy, says this. And Moses said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, Joshua. And he said it again in the same chapter. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. And then Moses dies. Now in chapter 1, verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, you see that? After Moses has died, here comes the Lord saying the same thing to Joshua three different times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And at the end of the chapter, the tribes that were going to settle on the east side of the Jordan who'd already received, who were going to receive that side of their inheritance, they said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Now, if somebody keeps telling you to be strong and courageous, even though you've exhibited strength and courage by standing up and saying, we can take the land, and now over and over you're being told to be strong and courageous, that might play with your mind a little bit and think, don't these people, haven't I proven myself? But then again, the intent would be not to question his loyalty, but rather to reinforce the importance to need to be strong and courageous, doing what God says. And so we read in verse 6 through 9, we see this explicitly in verse 7. Let's just read verse 7 again. Only be strong and very courageous. And now we see what that means. Here's biblical courage in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. What is biblical courage? Well, it's doing what the Bible says. It's doing what God says and not veering away from it. Now, this is striking to us, as one commentator says, and I agree. Because they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and what are they going to be doing? They're going to be fighting a lot of battles and wars, and it's going to require courage. And certainly, that's in the mind here of the Lord, because He says, none shall be able to stand against you. So you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to fight mightily. But what's foremost in the mind of the Lord to Joshua is this. More than anything else, it's not physical strength or military ingenuity or strategy Not saying that's not important, but more than anything else, is to be careful to do all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. To do what God says, more than anything else. And he prefaces it by saying, be very strong and courageous. That's going to require courage to do all that God says. And it's more important than anything else. That's biblical courage defined. So, in your outline, I want to dive into that. Biblical courage described. And I want you to look at these verses here in your Bible as you're looking at them, and let's find out just a little bit more about some attributes of biblical courage. And as we see them, I pray that we will seek to emulate them. One of those attributes I've simply written down is confidence, or you could put a confident trust. Confidence. And the reason I say that is because we're told in verse 5, if you look at verse 5, are you looking at your Bible? Here we're told that God's going to be with him. Verse 5, no man should be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with you, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Then verse 6 again, for be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Biblical courage is a confident trust in God to do what he said he would do. Because verse 6 says, you shall cause this people to inherit the land. God said it's going to happen, so do you trust, Joshua, that it will happen? So biblical courage described begins with a confident trust that God is with me and God is going to do what he said he said he would do. God's going to do what he promised. We see that kind of courage and confidence lacking in that first generation. They weren't sure that God was going to be with them when they went to the promised land, so they said, we can't do it. Let's go back to Egypt. We were better off there. Joshua must lead the people differently. To say, no matter what things may look like, we know that God will be with us because he said he would, and God's going to give us the land because he said he would. There's this confident trust. So biblical courage begins with an absolute trust in the sufficiency and the reliability of God's word. If God says to do something, he describes something, there's principles in his scripture. Is his word sufficient? And can we rely upon his word? Biblical courage begins with that kind of confidence and trust in God's word. We see that kind of confidence in young Daniel in the Bible. You know the story of Daniel who was told not to pray and went ahead and prayed and was thrown in the lion's den. We see it with his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who refused to bow down to the idols of Nebuchadnezzar. And so they're thrown into the fiery furnace. But before they go, they say, our God's able to deliver us. But they don't name it and claim it, do they? They say he's able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not bow down. And God in that moment chose to deliver them. That is confidence in the Lord and in his word. We see that kind of confidence in young David. When all the adults were trembling in their shoes when Goliath came out mocking God. Young David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to mock the living God of Israel? I'll fight him. And God was glorified in the defeat and deliverance of his people through a young man who had a confident trust and biblical courage. I'm thankful to be in a church where many of you are seeking to pour into your children or your grandchildren so that they would have that kind of biblical courage. So, young people this morning, Scripture tells us, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. Paul was telling Timothy that. Just because you're young, don't let anybody look down on you, but be an example, Paul told Timothy. So even now, young people, be an example. Be an example of biblical courage in doing what God said, knowing that God will use you in that way. So one attribute that we're looking at here is confidence or confident trust in God's Word. I shared with the congregation last Sunday night that we're here to consider what's called in German, in a German phrase that we learned in seminary, the Sitzenleben. And the way my professor would say it, the Sitzenleben, which means the situation in life of the people who are reading this for the first time. Who are the people that were reading the book of Joshua for the first time? How did this come across to them? You're sitting at home. You're called to go out to the temple. Hey, we've got a book for you to read. Hot off the press. You're the first ones to read it. And it could have been written as early as within that generation that was first settling in the promised land, because Rahab's is mentioned that up until this time that Rahab had lived, Rahab, the prostitute at Jericho, it seems like she was still alive when this was written. So here you are, settled in the promised land. Land generally has rest from war. You see that God has given this. That's your situation in life. And when you read here these words about God commissioning Joshua, Joshua's probably long gone and dead by now, but you're reading about him, you've heard stories. You're a teenager, and you've heard stories about Joshua from your grandpa, how he was strong and courageous and led the people. Then what kind of message does that send to you? What do you think about that? They should think to themselves this here, because what's going on here? God is commissioning a leader before the people. They should think to themselves. One of the things is, you know what? God was with Joshua. When God gives His people men of biblical courage and He's with them, God blesses His people. And they should think to them, they should say, you know, that's what happened. That's why we're here, settled in this land. And they should think to themselves, we ought to want godly men of biblical courage appointed by God to lead us. That's what they should conclude, because we're going to be blessed if we have godly men of biblical courage leading us. And of course, I'm going to make an application for our church at this point, that as we are, looks like, I'm not trying to be presumptuous, but it looks like we're going to be transitioning to looking for elders in our church before too long, that we need to desire that, amen? We need to, in our time, also look the same thing carries about, that when God appoints men of biblical courage to lead His people, the people are blessed. The people are blessed. And you need to begin to pray about that way now. God, raise up those who have served in those places, or as elders in our church, or in other leadership positions for that matter. The same could be said about a family being blessed. When a dad is biblically courageous, his family, the principle here, his family is going to be blessed when he does the right thing. A second attribute here is conviction. And some of these are redundant perhaps and overlap. One was confidence. The second is conviction, or a convicted heart, or a continual conviction is the way you could say it. A conviction to do all that God says, but and we see that here in this passage of Scripture. But such a conviction to do all that God says, as we see in this passage of Scripture, He says to do all of it, don't swerve from the right or the left. Such conviction acknowledges the authority of God's Word. So there's this confident trust in the sufficiency of God's Word, that it's going to take care of my every need. I just need to trust Him. He's going to be with Him, and we're going to see it unfold. And that's what the people had saw. If you keep reading through the book of Joshua, God had said to Joshua, I'll be with you just as I was with Moses. Moses got to the Red Sea. What did God do? He parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. Here's Joshua. There's the Jordan River. There's the Promised Land. And what does God do? He parts the Jordan River, and they go across on dry land. Later we read in Joshua about Joshua seeing this soldier, and he asked, whose side are you on? He says, I'm on the Lord's side. He said, take your shoes off, Joshua. You're standing on holy ground. What's that remind you of? How the Lord had been with Moses and commissioned Moses to go to Pharaoh at that burning bush and say, let my people go. Take your shoes off, Moses. The land you're standing on is holy ground. The people should know that God blesses a people when they're led by men with biblical courage, but also men of biblical conviction who are convinced of the authority of God's word. For the scripture says in your Bible at the beginning of verse 8, look at verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now it's this part of this scripture and this verse in particular, when you come back tonight, that I'm going to hone in on some more and chase some nuances and important ones that I'll mention a little bit here. Here we're told that a man of biblical courage, the way he's going to nurture that courage and have that courage, he needs to do something. And what is that? The law should be in his mouth and not come out of it. In other words, it should always be on the tip of his tongue. And it should always be on the tip of his tongue because he's meditating on it how often? He's always doing it, day and night, continually. See, Joshua, if you're going to be biblically courageous, you know what biblical courage is? You know, you're a mighty soldier, Joshua. You got these big muscles and so forth, or you did when you were younger anyway. You know, you want to picture Joshua, just look at Pastor Steve. Strong, physically fit, handsome. You can go just ask my wife and she'll describe it. Joshua, you're used to being a strong, mighty soldier. You go work out, you know, all the time and pump the iron and so forth. But Joshua, if you really want to be biblically strong and courageous, then what you need to do is be immersed in this book day and night continually. And folks, I want to tell you, you know, if we spend a lot of time trying to be physically, being physically fit's fine, right? We all want to be there. I'm not there, but we want to be. There's a lot of good things we can put ourselves into. But what God's telling us here is, you know, how's that measure up to the kind of attention we are to giving to meditating on God's Word so that we're strong in the Word? I mean, you may be a whole lot more concerned about the size of your biceps or the size of your waist than you are about how strong you are in the Word. And that's convicting, isn't it? So if that's the case, then let's get a balance, you know. Let this be a challenge to you to kind of adjust that kind of time that you're spending on those things. There's a necessary nuance I want to call out here that I'll spend more time on tonight. It's a necessary for us because there are explicit biblical commands we do. Joshua is told, meditate on the law. Those are laws. Those are commands. And there's commands for us in the New Testament, and as I'll mention tonight, what does this mean for us? Well, we obey God's law as fulfilled in light of Jesus' fulfillment. We read the Old Testament and we obey it in light of how Jesus fulfilled it. And so, I'm not going to chase that any further this morning. That's a huge topic with a lot of debate about it. But there's those biblical convictions and those things we must do that are explicit in Scripture. And then there's biblical convictions that are not explicit in Scripture, but we have convictions that are formed and shaped because of examples we read in Scripture or principles from Proverbs or other places in Scripture that we read where we have these convictions about what we should do in certain situations. We're talking about maybe issues of Christian conscience. And the way that we have true convictions about something is not because, well, this is what Dad told us to do growing up. But it's because we are meditating on the Word day and night and we're convinced here's something black and white we have no choice about. We got to do that. Here's something that's not so black and white, but based on what I read in Scripture, this seems to be the wise thing to do. And I have this conviction, no matter what Dad does or anybody else does, that this is the right thing to do. And that's biblical courage to go ahead and do it, even when people disagree with you. Folks, that's who I want us to be. It's who God wants us to be. And third attribute, just to go along with alliteration, Sometimes you can really go haywire on that stuff. So I've said, what was my first point? Can't even remember it. Confidence. And what was number two? Conviction. And thirdly, it's carefulness. Because that's what the Bible says. Be careful, doesn't it? Some of you probably heard about on the internet the past couple of weeks, a very popular pastor, a lot of people greatly respect, is counseled a grandmother who asked about whether or not she should attend her grandson's wedding, gay wedding, whether she should go. And he counseled her to go. He said, he knows it's wrong. You've told him that. And he said, I'm not telling all people on this, and there may be other situations where I might give different counsel, but he said, don't burn your bridges. Go ahead and go to this gay wedding and bring a gift. And I disagree, like a lot of people do if you've seen this blow up on the internet. I totally disagree. But I see the heart behind it. I see the desire to be evangelistic and not burn bridges. But as I think carefully myself, and I'm not saying this pastor doesn't, but as I think carefully myself on marriage as a picture of a relationship between Christ and the church, and by showing up to a wedding, that other people that see me there, grandson may know it, but other people that see me there may think I'm okay with this. I think I'm giving my stamp of approval on something that's wicked. And so I don't agree with what this pastor said at all. And I'm not throwing rocks at him either. This is a tough issue that a lot of people are facing nowadays, right? And so I would never, if somebody chose to do otherwise, I wouldn't call them names or be mean to them. I hope I weep with them about how hard a decision it's been for them to make. But if they asked me, I'd say, I couldn't do that. I think I would say I don't think you should do that either. You know, I think you're going to prove of something that's not right here. So I use that right now because we're talking about carefulness, a careful obedience. And you notice what the Bible says here in verse 8 at the end of it? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. What's the end of verse 8 say? So that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. That's the middle of verse 8. Then look at the same thing is seen at the middle of verse 7. Look at the middle of verse 7. I'll just start at the beginning. Verse 7, only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all that Moses, my servant, commanded you. And we're told in later, you know, don't turn from it from the right or to the left. So there's this carefulness. To be biblically courageous is have a conviction and to be very careful that I'm reading all the Scripture and I'm very careful in how I apply it. You know, most of us have experienced, I know I have many times, I'm not that mechanically minded, but most of us have experienced the frustration of not carefully following directions. You been there? You put something together, and then you see about three or four screws laying over here, and you thought, oh no. No wonder this thing's wobbly. I left out these screws. This may fall apart on me. And then you got to go back because you didn't pay attention to the directions. Or you're putting some dish together at home, and you think, oh, I forgot to put the salt in it. Or some ingredient, and now it's just going to taste bland to everybody. You spent all this time, and you left out something. Because you weren't being careful. Too big a rush, maybe. Well, obviously, a lot worse things happen when we're not careful with God's Word. Things that we may not intend to happen. Things, in the example I just gave you, things we may not intend to approve of, but do if we're not careful. So there's other things I'd say about that. But Just notice in verse 7, there's not no shortcuts are to be taken here when it comes to obedience. No compromising of your biblical commands and convictions. Look at Joshua 1, verse 7, the end of it. I'm looking at the very last sentence of verse 7. Are you in your Bible? Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. So that's the first part of that last sentence. You see that? What's that mean? That means no wavering. That means when cultural winds blow this way or that, you pray for God's grace to be right here unmoved, to not go to the right or to the left. Or when well-meaning friends or family come around and they say, oh, this is okay, you're just being too hard on yourself. But this is your conviction. And to not follow that is to violate maybe an explicit command from Scripture, but to at least violate your conscience and your convictions, that's the sin. So you don't take any shortcuts. You don't compromise. You just do what God says. That takes biblical courage. Now, can we just all acknowledge right now together that all of us, increasingly so in the world in which we live, with the church, in quotation marks, going to hell in a handbasket, so to speak. I'm talking about all the people around us that call themselves Christians and say they're part of the church. The church is in bad shape. Evangelicalism. And so we find ourselves in some really difficult places. It's going to take a lot of courage. When you're sitting in a university classroom and you're told to, you know, write this paper about this, and or you're not going to get a good grade, or, you know, whatever, or situations at work or family. That's why we need to pray with each other, seek each other out for godly counsel too, to help you see what the Word teaches and discern things well. So, careful obedience. Not being wise in your own eyes. Not saying, well, in this case, it's okay. No. No exceptions. No special circumstances. God's Word doesn't change. So let's conclude with this last point. Biblical courage applied. Praise God, there's a greater Joshua. Amen. His name is Jesus. Beloved, it is a rare thing indeed to find biblical courage, isn't it? And I was just alluding to that. It's a rare thing. Do you remember King Saul that Israel chose, the first king? It wasn't a sin for Israel to have a king, by the way. Deuteronomy says in the law that they would have a king. But when they wanted a king like all the nations, literally. He was physically tall, a mighty-looking soldier, strong. He was a mighty-looking warrior. He looked strong and courageous that way. But he feared man more than he feared God. You read about it in the book of 1 Samuel. What a coward he was. But this is what they wanted. And when the people insist on having people that lead them that don't have biblical courage because they look impressive to everybody else, but God's not called them, then the people are not going to be blessed. And they certainly were not while Saul led them. Or do you remember Israel and Judah's kings when you read 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles? And so many of the kings were just as wicked and godless as they could be. And then some of the kings did okay. Except they wouldn't remove the high places. If you know what I'm talking about, you'd read over and over. But they wouldn't remove the high places, which was a place where they worshipped where God hadn't authorized. And so many of the kings did good, but they just wouldn't deal with that. They just didn't want to go there. Brothers and sisters, there's only one perfect leader, one perfect king, one who is truly strong and courageous, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater Joshua. He's the one that saves and brings us to the true promised land of rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8 through 11 says this, "For if Joshua had given them rest, true rest, eternal rest is what it means, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us strive to enter that rest so no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The rest that Jesus brings us is that rest, this inheritance, this salvation from our sins, and this new heavens and new earth where we'll enjoy him forever as his adopted children. Therefore, let us be biblically courageous. Let us not be in unbelief like that first generation was who were right there. But fear of man caused them to fall dead in the wilderness. So biblical courage applied begins with thinking about this greater Joshua, Jesus. So let me just say a couple things and I'm going to pray. Go because God gives. Look at the last bit of verses. This was God's word to the tribes on the east side of the Jordan who had insisted on having their inheritance there. And God was saying to them, but you still need to go fight on the west side. And it says in verse 16, they answered Joshua, all that you've commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Those folks said, we will come and fight, and we will do all that you said. We will go because you have given. And certainly God was going to do that on the west side of the Jordan. You know what he did? He flattened the walls of Jericho. They blew their instruments, and marched around the walls for 7 days and seven times on the seventh day, and the walls came down. Later on, the Bible tells us a couple times in the book of Joshua, God fought for his people. And we see God, the people fighting the battle, but then God throws hailstones down on top of the enemy. God's fighting for his people. And then later on in the book of Joshua, this man cries out to God, we want to make sure we have a thorough whooping of this enemy. So God, let the sun stand still and let the moon stand still. So God makes the earth stop spinning on its axis because God is with his people. And God blesses his people when his people are led by people who are strong and courageous. And so in light of this, it seems these tribes on the east side of the Jordan, when they said, well, have you commanded us, we will go, they were willing to go because of what God has given. And just let me remind you of that. How much more for us who have a greater inheritance and a greater Joshua seek to fulfill the Great Commission with great confidence? Amen? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Does that sound familiar from this passage of Scripture this morning? We too, in making disciples, are to teach them to be strong and courageous. And in light of how Jesus has come and how he's fulfilled Scripture, teach them to fulfill all that Jesus has commanded. Not one jot or tittle has fallen from the law, but it's been fulfilled in Jesus in the way in which he's fulfilled it and in the light of his commands, loving God and loving neighbor. Teach them to do it. Go. And then finally, let me share this with you. God blesses biblical courage, and I mentioned that a couple times. At the end of verse 7, it says this, that you may have good success wherever you go. Then look at the middle of verse 8, or maybe the end of verse 8 it is. You see what it says in verse 8? Same type of thing. Are you looking at your Bible? For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God blesses biblical courage. If you haven't seen that in this passage of Scripture this morning, then maybe you've fallen asleep. God blesses biblical courage. When a church or an individual or a family says, we're going to do what God says, period, God's going to bless that. Amen? God's going to bless it. Don't mean things are going to be easy, but God's going to bless it, and he's going to be pleased. And brothers and sisters, that is all that matters. Amen? When it says here, then you'll make your way prosperous and good success and have good success, let's be reminded that's not like taking 50 cents and putting it into a Coke machine. And yes, I know it's more like $2 nowadays, right? And it's not like putting your $2 in, your 75 cents in, or $3.50 at the airport, putting your money in the Coke machine, pressing the Coke button, and out comes Mountain Dew. Or you press the button and nothing comes out and you lose your money. But what you expect is, as long as I put this in, I should get something back. And that's what some people think about this passage of Scripture. Well, if I do this, then I'm going to be physically prosperous and healthy and wealthy. It's prosperity gospel garbage. God's not promised that. That's not it. There's a now, not yet. And our prosperity in all those ways I just mentioned, that's coming one day. We're not promised that now. Sometimes Mountain Dew comes out and sometimes it takes your money. To take the illustration a little further, though, the difference here is when we invest in God's Word and do what God says, and out comes Mountain Dew instead of Coke. In other words, things don't go as we thought it would, or it seems we've invested in God and we don't get our money back. In other words, we've tried to do what God says and nothing's happening. Where are you, God? My God, why have you forsaken me? Is what Jesus said. God's not cheating you. That's the difference. This is where Romans chapter 8, verse 28 comes in, that we'll get to probably next Sunday or the Sunday after. For those that love God, called according to His purpose, right? He works all things according to the counsel of His will. So there's a trust in His providence. We know that God is going to bless obedience, although it may not turn out the way we want it to. There may be some heartache to go through, some more waiting to go through, but God, listen, God will bless obedience. Ultimately, you'll see it. If not on this side of glory, you will on the next. God will bless obedience to His Word and to biblical convictions. Please, do what you know is right to do. And trust God that the product you receive will give Him great glory and ultimately give you great pleasure in His glory. And know this, in the midst of it, God's going to take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He's not talking about everything you want, right? He's using an illustration about birds earlier. I always like to use this illustration. You look out, birds, you're sitting, I'm sitting on the wire out there. I don't see any right now, but if you did, you saw some birds sitting on the wires. You don't see any birds sitting up there, where am I going to get my food today? Where's my worms at? I'm just so worried, so anxious about my worms. You ever seen a bird, a nervous bird? Well, maybe you have. I don't know. Somebody will tell me they have, and I'll have to use a different illustration. But Jesus used it. And what Jesus was saying in, you're worth a whole lot more than birds. God's going to take care of them. You better believe He's going to take care of you. And brothers and sisters, I know there's a whole lot of testimonies could be shared right this morning about how God's taking care of us. Amen? But maybe before we saw the way He took care of us, there was some heartache and hurt while we were waiting for it too. Biblical courage says, I'm going to wait. I'm going to trust. I'm going to do. While I'm waiting, even though I'm hurting. That's biblical courage. So brothers and sisters, be strong and courageous. And if you're here this morning, the first thing you need to do, if you haven't, is put your faith and trust in the greater Joshua. You've sinned against God, Jesus Christ, who fulfills God's plan, went to the cross, died, rose again. Repent of your sins. Put your faith in Jesus. We'd love to talk with you about how God may be at work in your heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I pray that we would be the men and women and young people. God, that we would be the people you've called us to be. Imitators, ultimately, of Christ. The greater Joshua, the one who takes us into the true rest. Help us this morning, Lord. I know there's Some really are seeking to do what you say this morning, and they're in a waiting period, or they're going through some hard times because of it. And some are trying to wade through some sticky issues right now, some things that are going on with them, their lives, and they're just really having a hard time trying to navigate through it. I've got to give much grace, counsel, wisdom. And Lord, let your people be strong and courageous. We ask these things in Jesus' name.